Tonight's reading is from 1 John, chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and can be found on page 1227. Page 1227, 1 John, chapter 1.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4. 1 to 6. 1 to 6. I haven't read it. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Anita, thank you. Thank you for reading to us that passage. I can't resist saying, if you thought it was chapter one, I wonder where you've been on Sunday evenings. But that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? Sorry about that. You might like to find an outline, which is on the back of the news sheet we were looking at earlier, and that I hope will help. I don't know if you've ever come across the London Church of Christ. They're quite active in London, particularly on university campuses. One of their members may meet you, they'll be very friendly, and they'll probably invite you to their church. Nothing wrong with that, of course, being friendly, inviting people to church. Only if you say, well, actually, I already go to church, even say I go to a good Bible-believing teaching church, they'll say, still, why don't you come to my church? And if that gives you the impression that they think actually only their church, their group, is the real thing, you'd be right. That's exactly what they think. They are technically a cult, and they would say that only they are on their way to heaven. Like a lot of cults, they have a strong leader or strong leaders at the centre. For instance, there's a man called Douglas Arthur. He's one of the leaders. And in one of their magazines, he's described as this: a dynamic man of God, brilliant at expressing himself, easygoing, fun-loving. His soft blue eyes never... His soft blue eyes never show a hint of anxiety. Worry? What's that? Douglas jests. Come on, let's flip the frisbee. Yet when he preaches the word, watch out. From those same eyes emanate blazing intensity and passion for God. Douglas is a man of God. Now, we can laugh at some of that. But earlier this year, 10,000 people went to Wembley Arena to hear him speak. And I imagine he said that what he is saying and what their group is saying is what God is saying, and only they know it, and you've got to join them if you want to get right with God. Have you ever heard anyone like that? A speaker, maybe say Christian Union one week, visit a church, maybe just a conversation, and the person's impressive. They're a man of God, they're full of the Spirit, and they make big claims. Claims to know God in a way that other people don't know God. They're on the inside track with God. And they say, you've got to join me, follow me, if you really want to know God. Listening to someone like that can make you feel very insecure. Very easy to think, well, maybe they have got something I haven't got. Maybe I should listen to them. Then I'd really know God. Well, that sort of situation is basically the situation for John's readers. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, by spirit there, John means someone speaking by the Spirit, as he says, a prophet or a false prophet. Someone claiming to speak to God. And that's what the false teachers, who we've met before in the background of this letter, that's what they were claiming, to speak for God. It sounds from what John says that they claimed they were the ones that really knew God. They're on the inside track with God. They were the ones who spoke by the Spirit and had special insight into God. And if you really wanted to know God, you better accept what they say. And it's making John's readers, these Christians, feel insecure. And ask the question, like us, well, who should I listen to? If I want to know God, really, who should I listen to? Who should I accept? Maybe you're not a Christian here tonight, but you're asking a similar question. If I want to know God, who should I listen to? There's lots of different voices out there. There's lots of competing claims in this world of religion and God. How do I know who's speaking the truth? Well, that's the question John's going to answer tonight. And he starts off by giving us a very simple test, and that's really points 1 and 2, which we'll take in order. First of all, verse 2, we get the test. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There's the test. God's Spirit, speaking in somebody, through somebody, will teach, will confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And by that, John means that Jesus Christ, the divine Jesus, has come in the flesh. He is truly human. God has really become one of us. He's become a man. And there's point 1 on the sheet. God's Spirit teaches this true Jesus, fully human, fully divine. I put some other references there because John mentions this test in a few other places in the letter. Puts it slightly differently. We're not going to go through them all. Because basically, while the language differs a little, the basic point is Jesus is fully God and fully man. See, everyone was agreeing there was a man, Jesus, you know, this bloke. And everyone would agree that there's God. And they'd even say there's a Son of God, a divine Son, a divine Christ. But what John is saying is this Jesus, the man, is the divine Christ. They are one. They're the same person. That's the true Jesus, fully man and fully God. That's the truth about Jesus. And therefore you can be sure that the Spirit of God will teach the truth about his Son. The Spirit of God will teach the true Jesus through somebody. Let's do the opposite. Number 2, worldly spirits deny the true Jesus. We'll see why I put worldly there later on. But for now, verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. That's what the false teachers were doing. They were not confessing Jesus come in the flesh, or the Christ come in the flesh. It's difficult to pin down exactly what they thought, quite what they taught. But basically, they seem to say, yes, there was a man, Jesus. There was a divine Son, a divine Christ. But they kept them separate in some way. They probably said the divine Christ came and lived in the Son for the man for a bit, and then went again. The point is, the man, Jesus, is not the Christ. They're separated. Overlap for a bit, but separate. If someone does that, verse 3, if you do not confess Jesus, you are not from God. In fact, verse 3 carrying on, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Do you remember that conservative election campaign poster of Tony Blair? Tony Blair's face, big smile, and that rip across the eyes, underneath kind of like with a red, evil, devil eyes. Do you remember that? Is that just a long time ago? When was that? Is that 97? It wasn't that long ago. You were, yes, I was worried I was referring to something a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? That devil eye thing. And it's kind of like Tony Blair of the devil, Antichrist, watch out. Didn't work, of course, but there we are. Now, the trouble with Antichrist is you can easily, you know, we read that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, and you can start thinking, oh, John's talking about that kind of thing, you know. Sort of like if you peel back the layer of somebody, you find actually they've got red eyes and they're satanic inside. And it's all rather comic. So we're in danger of not really taking his language seriously. But John is very serious. He doesn't mean this in some sort of weird red-eyed way. But he does mean the devil is real and active. And he is against Christ. He is anti-Christ. And he is active encouraging people in that same attitude. To be against Christ. To be anti-Christ. To reject Christ as he really is. Fully God, fully man. There are two ways you could reject Christ. You could just reject him completely. You could just say, well, I'm just not interested in you. I want nothing to do with you. And have no time for him. Or you can reject him by replacing him with another Christ, like the false teachers did. They still talked about Jesus and the Christ, but it was something different to the true Jesus Christ. And you get the same today, don't you? You get people talking about Jesus, the good man, telling us how to live, Jesus, the enlightened man, who will show us how to be truly spiritual and give us peace. Whatever. Lots of different versions of Jesus. But either just reject him out of hand or replace him with another one. You are denying the true Jesus. You are joining in with the Antichrist. So there's the test. It's not enough for someone just to say, I'm speaking by the Spirit. It's not enough for somebody to just appear and seem to be a man of God. The test is, what do they say about Jesus? If someone teaches the true Jesus, you can be sure they're speaking by the Spirit of God. If they deny Jesus, they come up with a different Jesus. They're speaking by the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, having said that, I want us to pause, and I want us to enter this box on the sheet. I want us to pause and ask, why is this the test John gives us? Why is this test so crucial? Why is it this that will show up a false teacher? And to answer that, I want us to just think a little bit about what we've learned about Jesus from 1 John. And I hope it brings home the force of what John is saying a bit more. So in the box, first of all, why is the test so crucial? First of all, because Jesus reveals God to us. Turn that back a page, chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, do you remember this? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. It's John starting his letter by saying basically that Jesus reveals God. But he does it because he is fully human and fully God. Did you see that kind of come out? He says he's fully human. He has been heard and seen and looked upon and touched. He's a man. He's one of us. They've lived with him. But he's also fully divine. He's from the beginning. He is eternal. He is the word of life. He was with the Father. He's God. And you need both of those for Jesus to be able to reveal God to us. If you separate the man and the son, the divine bit, you get into trouble. That's what the false teachers did. They said, you know, the divine bit came on Jesus for a bit, they overlapped, but they weren't really the same. So, well, that means if Jesus speaks and says something, we ask, well, who was saying that? Is that the human bit? Or was that the divine bit? How can I tell? Was that God or not? Did you see Being John Malkovich? If you didn't, this won't work at all. But if you did, then there's a slightly weird film where they discover a portal into John Malkovich. And people could jump in and they could live for a little bit in John Malkovich and saw the world through his eyes. They kind of lived within him. And they found they could begin to influence him and speak and act for him. But if you're on the outside and you're listening to John Malkovich speak and you know what's going on, then you have to ask the question, well, who's this? Is it John Malkovich speaking or is it the person kind of inside him speaking? I don't know. And that's what the false teachers end up with Jesus. They've got a man with God in him a bit. So you don't know who's speaking. The truth is, Jesus the man is God. They are the same. They're the same person. So when the man speaks, God is speaking. What Jesus says, God says. Because he is God and man, he can reveal God to us. Jesus reveals God to us only if he is God and man. Second subheading there, second thing we've learned about Jesus in John, Jesus rescues us to God. We've been thinking about this tonight. We are sinful, naturally, and the only way we could know God is through Jesus' death, through Jesus dying for us, taking our sin, taking God's judgment. We've seen this in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and him dying to rescue us from our sin. But to do that, he had to be God and man. See, if you separate him out again, like the false teachers, the question comes, well, who died on the cross? And the false teachers said, oh, it was just the man. The divine bit had gone by then. So Jesus' death is just a man dying. One of us dying. So he can't die for us. He's just one of us. He's got his own sin to die for. For rescue from sin, we need the Son of God to become a man, one of us, so he can really take our place, perfect God in human flesh. Then he can take our sin and take God's judgment. Now, look, I'm saying quite a lot quite quickly, but the basic point is this. For Jesus to bring us to God, he's got to be God and man. To reveal God to us, to tell us what he's like, to rescue us from our sin to know God, he's got to be the Son of God come as a human. Imagine a group of young boys at primary school. Like all good five-year-olds, their hero is David Beckham. And along with the nation, they're horrified at the kidnap attempt on Posh. And for the first time, everyone's delighted with the news of the world for falling it so wonderfully. My question is, how did that reporter become part of the gang? You ever thought of it? I think someone might kidnap the Beckhams. I'll go and join the gang. Where'd you go? Who'd you phone for that? Anyway, not casting any aspersions on the news of the world. We're delighted that they weren't kidnapped. These five-year-olds, they love Beckham, okay? They love Beckham, and they spend their time reenacting his free kicks in the playground, and they talk about him, and they sometimes say, we're a bit worried about the sarong-wearing phase. That was a bit unboyish for them, a bit embarrassing. They reckon Posh probably made him do it, you know, or her idea, and that sort of thing. One day, a new boy arrives at school, and he's called Brooklyn. I know he's not old enough yet, but pretend. After everyone had finished laughing at his name, they got to talking. They got back to talking about David Beckham. And they're saying, in fact, they're on the sarong thing again. Only this time, Brooklyn interrupts and says, no, actually, that's not true. Actually, he likes the sarong. In fact, it was all his idea. And he tells them about his dad. And after a while, some of the boys have become friends with Brooklyn, and he says, do you want to come home with me after school, and we can play football on my personal football pitch in the back garden. And so they go, and of course, David comes out and joins them. And they have tea with him afterwards. And they meet their hero and get to know Beckham. Now, why is all this happening? Well, it's happening basically for the simple reason that Brooklyn is David Beckham's son. As his son, he can tell you about his father. And as the son, he can take you home to his dad. He can bring you to know David Beckham, because he's the son of David Beckham. And that's basically what we're saying about Jesus. He can bring us to know God. Why? Because he is the Son of God come to us. And as the Son, he can tell us about his Father. And as the Son, he can take us to know his Father. We come to know the Father by knowing the Son. Now that is why this is such a crucial test. Because if you say that this man, Jesus, is not the Son, you've separated our way, you cut off our way to God. We can only know God if this man is the Son of God. That's how we know God, through him. Once you separate them, we're in trouble. We can't know God. And so John says this is the test. This is the crucial test. It's at the centre of everything, who Jesus is. If you want to know if someone's speaking for God, by God's Spirit, ask yourself, what do they say about Jesus? What do they teach about him? What do they teach about what he's done for us? What do they teach about how he gets us to God? What do they say, you know, he's provided for us? Understand their view of Jesus. And if they deny him in some way, and him being able to get us to God, they don't know God. They're not speaking by the Spirit of God. That's the Antichrist. That's another Christ. But if they teach the true Jesus, then you can be sure the true Spirit is in them. Listen to them. They are speaking for God. Now, as we say all that, we might ask, well, if Jesus is God and brings us to know God, why would we ever bother denying him? What have you got to gain by denying that Jesus is the Son? What makes these false teachers reject him and go for another one? A lesser Christ? Well, that's point three on the sheet. Why do we reject this Jesus? Did you notice how often the word world came in our reading? It comes verse 1, verse 3, particularly verse 5. They are from the world. That is the false teachers, are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. Now, what does John mean by world? Well, he described the world back in chapter 2, where he talks about loving the world instead of God. The world, we were made to love God and enjoy his world, but instead we cut God off and say, I don't want to know you. I'm just going to love the world on its own. And my life and all that I have. The world is basically our world without God, cut off from God. In other words, the attitude of the world is anti-God. It's the attitude that says, I don't want God in my life or in my world. Now, if that is your attitude, if you are worldly in that sense, you will surely reject Jesus. Because if Jesus is God's son and he comes to this world to bring us to know God, but you don't want to know God, you're anti-God, then you'll be anti-Christ. You'll be against Jesus because you don't want to know God. Go back to Brooklyn in the playground. Some children here at Brooklyn say, no, my dad's really into sarongs. He's all for them. But they say, no. No, he can't be. That's rubbish. You're wrong. You must be wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You might be called Brooklyn. You might have that unfortunate state, but you're not that Brooklyn. And they diss him. Now, what's going on there? Well, they're being shown the real David Beckham through his son. But they don't like it. They didn't like the sound of the real David Beckham. He likes sarongs. And so they say, no, he's not like that, and therefore we will reject you, his son. In other words, while those kids in the playground might say, oh, we love David Beckham, we wish we could know David Beckham, the truth is they don't. They don't want to know David Beckham. They don't love him. Because when he comes to them in his son, they say, no, I don't want that David Beckham. Not a sarong-wearing David Beckham. I want my David Beckham. Created as I'd like him to be. And so they reject Brooklyn. Well, that's what's happening with the false teachers. Jesus comes as the Son and shows them the real God, and they say, no, actually, God isn't like that. We don't want God to be like that. And they show that by the fact they reject Jesus, because he is showing them God. They might say, oh, we love God. We know God. But they don't. The truth is, they don't. They'd be appalled and outraged to be told that, but they don't. They don't even want to know God. Not the real God. They want their version of God. And so when God comes to them in his son, they say no to him. It's the same today. Teachers who might talk a good story, look impressive, claim insight from God or whatever, if they reject Jesus, it's all talk. They might say they know God or whatever, but they don't. They don't even want to know God. They're anti-God, and therefore they're anti-Christ. Because Jesus Christ is God come to us. That's why these teachers are rejecting Jesus, because they don't actually want to know the real God. And the same goes for those who accept the teachers. Let's just go on a little bit, and verse 5 again. They, the teachers, are from God, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. The world listens to them. If we are worldly, if we're anti-God, we will listen to and accept those teachers. We will accept their rejection of Jesus, whether outright, or their replacement of Jesus with some other Jesus. And we will do it because we don't want to know God either. We're anti-God. Now that's quite something to say. That means people who aren't Christians, this might be you tonight, you reject Jesus in whatever way, and John says you do it, not because the evidence is a bit poor, or because of some intellectual objection, but because at heart, you don't want to know God. You're worldly. You're anti-God. So you like listening to teachers who are worldly. Now, you may not want to hear that. It's not a very nice thing to say. But John says it. He says it's true. And I wonder if you'd be prepared to face that question. Face the question of your motives in rejecting Jesus. Maybe you're doing Christianity Explored at the moment, and you're finding out about Jesus. Great thing to do. Are you prepared to say, I can't trust my heart as I look at Jesus? Because naturally I'm against God, and I don't want Jesus to show me God. That's what John's saying. Mind you, that raises a bigger question. If we're anti-God, how will anyone ever change and come to know God? If we're all like this, why does anyone accept Jesus? Last point, number 4. Why do we accept this Jesus? Let me read verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. That is, overcome the false teachers. And by overcome, I think he means you have stuck with the real Jesus. They've pushed you, and they've made their claims in front of you, but you haven't given in. You've stuck with the real Jesus. Why? Rest of verse 4. Little children, you are from God, you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in the world is the devil, the Antichrist. He who is in them, Christians, is God by his Spirit. And God's Spirit is greater than he who is in the world. And so they have overcome the false ideas because of God's Spirit in them. That's why they've come to accept the real Jesus. That's why they've stuck with the real Jesus. Not because they're more clever, not because they are more kind of pro-God. It's because of the Spirit in them, who has changed them from being anti-God to wanting to know God. Because the Spirit has worked in them to enable them to see who Jesus is and accept him as the Son of God. And this is all ongoing as well. The Spirit has kept working in them, and they've kept accepting Jesus, and they've stuck with him. Look at verse 6. They are from the world, verse 5, the false teachers. We, I think probably John and the apostles, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So just like the world listens to worldly teachers, so John is saying, those who know God listen to true teachers, John, the apostles, teaching the true Jesus. We've got to say apostles. Ultimately, of course, the apostles are the link with the true Jesus. They were there, they were the eyewitnesses, they saw him, and they testify, chapter 1. They wrote it down. We meet the true Jesus, the apostolic Jesus, in the Bible. Here he is, you know, it written down, recorded for us. So we're saying true teachers today teach the true Jesus. That means teaching the Bible. And true believers today accept the true Jesus, which means accepting the Bible. And going on accepting the Bible. And sticking with this Jesus of the Bible. Let me sum up as we finish. What I think we've seen is this rather this Trinitarian flow. The Spirit teaches the true Spirit, God's Spirit. There are lots of other spirits. The true Spirit teaches the true Jesus, and the true Jesus leads you to know the true God. Let's just briefly apply that. What about a teacher? Who should we listen to? Who's got the Spirit of God? Well, very simply, do they teach the true Jesus? Because you will do that, but because of the Spirit. That is what the Spirit will do in a true teacher, lead them to teach the true Jesus. So, John says, test the spirits. Test them to see if they teach the real Jesus, if they teach the Jesus of the Bible. And if they don't, no matter what claims they make or how impressive they look, don't let them make you feel insecure. Rather, understand what John is saying and say, you are not teaching the real Jesus, you have the spirit of the Antichrist. And that makes them very unattractive and far less tempting. Don't let them make you feel insecure. But if they teach the real Jesus, great. Listen. Listen to them and accept what they say, because that is how we then know that we are true Christians. True teacher teaches Jesus. The true Christian believes Jesus. And we simply have to ask, are we listening to and accepting the Jesus of the Bible? It won't be perfect. We'll go up and down. But if we are sticking with Jesus, then we can be sure we know God. Again, don't let anyone make you feel insecure. Because the Son has come that we might know the Father. And the Spirit has worked in you to enable you to accept the Son. And now you have the Son, you have the Father. And you don't need anything else. Just stay with him and grow with him. Because in him, we have God. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you've given us this letter, that we might know that we know you, we might have confidence. And thank you this evening for showing us that our confidence is in Jesus, that the Son of God has come as one of us, that we might know you. Thank you for your Spirit's work, leading us to see that and believe that. And we pray that we might stick with the real Jesus. We might teach him in our conversation, and we might believe on him and live with him. And in him, know you, our Father. And we ask it for your glory's sake. Amen.